want to talk about this really important notion for us as Christians, the notion of faith. I don't know if I should apologize in advance. There's a bit more content than is typical today, but I promise you, if you put in the effort, you will learn something today. And you also have the opportunity to duck out and receive the Lord's mercy and confession too. So that's a good option. I want to talk about that gift of faith. You know, faith is so central for us, but more and more, whereas it used to be a universal concept that pretty much everyone, regardless of how they understood God, you know, had this notion that faith was important, more and more, faith is being attacked or is seen as something that is silly or illogical. In the letter to the Hebrews, we are given a definition of faith. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So, what is faith? The realization of what is hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So I want to go through just ways that I've grown and developed my own understanding of faith and that notion. And hopefully that can help each of us to grow and advance in our own faith. As the disciples asked Jesus, increase our faith, right? We all need to grow and to ask the Lord the same thing. So one of the first errors that we often hear is that people see faith as mere superstition. That it's this blind trust, not based on anything real. It's a sacrificing our intellect, our human reason. And this, brothers and sisters, is not what we mean by faith as Christians. Our intellect is integrated with our faith. Our faith needs to make sense, right? It needs to be reasonable. Okay, Pope John Paul II explained this very clearly in his beautiful encyclical Fides et Ratio, Faith and Reason. And that's why in the definition we're given in the letter to the Hebrews, faith is called evidence of things not seen, because we can use and apply our intellect to it. Well, what kind of evidence is it? Is it a scientific kind of evidence? Well, of course not, because it's evidence of things not seen. Therefore, things that are not measurable, not in our material world. They're the spiritual realities. So there is no scientific evidence that we're going to use to measure this faith. But does that mean that there's no other kinds of evidence? Scientific evidence, the only kind that there is? Well, of course not. If we think about our lives in depth, every single one of us uses many forms of evidence that are non-scientific as we make our decisions. Think of this. Young man goes down on one knee with a ring in his finger, in his hand, and holds it up, right? We know what he's doing. He's asking his girlfriend to marry him, to commit her life, to be with him, and he's promising to be with her. Does she have scientific evidence that he will be true to this promise? Of course not. But is she making a total blind act of trust with no evidence whatsoever? She shouldn't, certainly not, right? By this young man's actions, by what he has evidenced in his character over the course of time, she has gained evidence of whether or not she can trust, whether he is sincere in what he is asking, what he is demonstrating. Right? So it is not a scientific form of evidence, but of course it is a form of evidence. We could think also of the evidence of eyewitnesses, right? In our courtrooms, the evidence of trustworthy eyewitnesses is accepted as real evidence. And this is, in fact, for us, foundational. It's not that our faith is based on ideologies or concepts. Our faith is actually rooted in the experience of eyewitnesses of the work of God in our world. the patriarchs, the prophets, above all, the apostles. The apostles physically saw Jesus die on the cross, and then 3 days later, they saw him alive in his glory. See, our faith is rooted in these real experiences of others. And so it's the evidence of their testimony, their witness, that we have the opportunity to accept as the foundation of our faith. Blessed John Henry Newman explained it in this way. It's pretty simple, but clear. He's soon to be a saint. He said, "I know that England is an island." He was a British. He said, "I don't know because I've walked all the way around it and found that it is, in fact, surrounded by water." Could do that, but he said, "I'm not going to." Right? "I know because I believe the testimony of those who have done so." Right? I believe in their eyewitness accounts. So it is with faith. We can have a real knowledge. Faith is a kind of knowledge based on real evidence, even if it is not scientific evidence, that that is the foundation of our faith. I want to mention also that faith is not just an intellectual assent, an assent of the mind. Rather, it's an act of trust always, an act of personal adherence to Jesus, wanting to cling to him. And this is what it means, I think, when he says that faith is evidence of things not seen. That at times I don't grasp, I don't understand the faith, right? I can't see how it could possibly be the body and blood of Jesus. Or in my life, just that experience of how does God really love me in all the mess and in my sin? How is it even possible? I don't get it. But if I make an assent of my will to the faith that's taught to me, that it is Jesus' body and blood here, that God does in fact love me even at my worst, when I assent to it, that's when light shines on that reality. In fact, that's often when the gift of understanding is given. It's evidence even of the things that we do not see. Once we make that assent, God makes it clear. It's also important for us to know that faith is not just my decision, okay? Faith is not just something that I do, right? In fact, above all, faith is the gift of God. It's one of these theological virtues, right? That means that God is the origin of this gift. It must be given by him. We can dispose ourselves to be ready for faith, just like we till and prepare the soil, but it's up to God to give this gift. Jesus said, "It is not you who chose me. It is I who chose you." So if we start to think of faith as merely our decision, we will miss out on that reality. Another error oftentimes in thinking about or conceiving of faith is expressed by this phrase, "Well, I feel close to God." Okay. All right. Good for you. Congratulations. Okay. But this faith is not a feeling. Okay. This is of utmost importance and perhaps is the most common of our misconceptions about what faith is. Faith is not a feeling. If faith were a feeling, you would also have to say that Mother Teresa had no faith. Would you want to say that? Probably not, right? But she was deprived of the feeling of the closeness of God for decades throughout her life. Okay? So I feel, right? Faith is not a feeling. When someone says, "I feel close to God," kind of want to do the little inquisition. All right, what's the evidence here? Do you talk to him? Well, you know, he knows what I think. I don't need to talk to him. Well, you know, do you consult him when you're making your decisions? Do you ask him what he wants for your life? Well, no, I know what God wants for my life, so I don't really need to take the time to consult him, right? Are you living your life and putting others and their needs first, right? Do other people come to you and ask you how to get closer to God, how to come to know him? Do you spend time in his word? Do you try to know and find out how he has revealed himself, right? Is there any evidence, in other words, that you are in fact close to God? Or is it just a feeling? Because guess what? The enemy can deceive us by making us feel close to God. But the reality is that a tree is judged by its fruit. It's not the servant who says that they are faithful to the master that the master is going to reward. Jesus says it's the one whom he finds prepared and ready, the one who shows the evidence of his faithfulness that is going to be rewarded. St. James said, faith without works is dead. Okay, so faith is not a feeling, right? Feelings come and go. Sometimes we'll feel close to God, sometimes we won't. Let's not get confused and measure our spiritual life based on those feelings. Faith is something altogether different. Okay, final point here. The letter to the Hebrews said that faith is the realization of things hoped for. The realization of things hoped for. That word realization isn't used in the sense of, well, oh, it just popped into my mind, or I just remembered. No, it means the making real, like how we say, my dream was realized. My dream became a reality. So faith is what is hoped for becomes a reality. So when Jesus was out in his ministry, sometimes the lack of faith made it so that he could not perform miracles, it said. Not that he didn't have the power to do so, but he wants our cooperation. So their lack of faith changed things. And their presence of faith changed things. Even when it appears that Jesus has no intention of performing a miracle or revealing himself and his power in a certain context, when he encounters faith, he does, right? He changes the water into wine. He heals. He frees people from demons. And what does he say? He says, your faith has saved you. Faith changes things. Faith is the realization of what is hoped for. What we place our hope for in true faith, God will make come about. So, brothers and sisters, our faith needs to grow and develop. When we were children, we talked like children, we thought like children. When we're adults, we should talk like adults and think like adults. So it is with our faith. It should not be the same now as it was when we were 8 years old or 12 years old. Needs to grow and develop. And as the apostles prayed for the gift of faith, Lord, increase our faith, so we should as well. And you might say, well, it seems a lot more complicated than I thought it was, or it seems more difficult than I thought. It wasn't exactly the intent of this homily, but perhaps it is. Perhaps to be a person of real, authentic faith is a pretty lonely thing in our world. Perhaps there are very few. But think about Abraham. It was very lonely for him to place his trust in God as he called him out, as he left everything behind. And what does the scripture say? It was accounted to him as righteousness. As lonely as it may be to have that authentic faith in our lives, let us go with true trust and confidence. And it will be accounted to us as righteousness.